The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Aaron, let me make sure I understand this.
Yes.
Because we got the breaking news just as I was going off the air yesterday. So the 15-year-old girl who is the suspect in hitting the jogger, Greg Moore, back in July.
Yeah.
They now believe that in the day or days before,
correct, yeah,
that she hit another guy. And the reason they believe it, as far as I can ascertain, is because somebody in the vehicle was recording video while she hit this other person?
That's correct, yeah. And it appears to be the same gray Toyota Camry that was involved in the death of Greg Moore back in July, yeah.
And so that's very strange. It makes me wonder if maybe it was a homeless guy, if it has so far gone unreported that somebody was hit by a car. I'm trying to figure out how somebody could be hit, because there would be, and I know the authorities think there are probably somewhat significant injuries, and the fact that it's gone unreported up till now,
yeah,
that's what makes me wonder if it is a homeless person.
No, I mean, yeah, the King County Sheriff's Office has an image of this potential victim of this 15-year-old girl. It's blurry, but he's, you know, in a white tank top wearing a backpack, and then yeah, he's hit on the passenger side of that car. So
do you know, is the original image blurry, or has that been blurred out?
It's a good question.
As it's been disseminated to, I assume they were just blurring it to hide his identity from us.
Yeah, I don't know that answer, Dory. That's a good question. Okay. Though, yeah.
Okay, man, I mean, if true. Both are alleged at this point, but what a sociopath this kid would be. And again, she can only be held till she's 21. It's unbelievable. All right, Aaron, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome. Welcome to the big show. We have an awful lot of news to get to. That is just one of many stories we are covering on a busy news afternoon. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Before I get to the rant I was going to talk about, because I didn't realize Aaron was going to talk about that 15-year-old girl, isn't it unbelievable if our prosecutor, King County prosecutor, doesn't figure out a way to charge this kid as an adult if she has one murder and then another serious injury? And the other question that has to be raised, because I guarantee 110% guarantee that if it was a white kid who was going around crashing into and killing black people by the side of the road, I guarantee they'd be talking about hate crime charges. And now it's time for the prosecutor's office, because the second victim appears to be white. Greg Moore was white. The girl is black. Are they going to explore hate crime charges against this 15-year-old? And can they get any additional enhancements because of that? All I'm telling you is, and they might still say, no, we can hold her till she's 21, and that's the beginning and end of it. But I 100% with certainty tell you that if it was a white kid driving and black people who were being struck and injured and killed, that politicians, prosecutors would have brought up hate crimes in their discussions with the media by now. That apparently remains a one-way street. Okay, the story I was planning to talk about here at the beginning of the show. We have been getting deluged by listeners who are just getting their insurance renewal rates. Every day I get several text messages and emails from people who are, in many cases, distraught. And that's because the insurance commissioner for our state, Mike Kreidler, he has decided to just crush people on a fixed income, lower income people, because what he did was he put in what he said was an emergency rule. Now, this gives an insurance commissioner an extraordinary amount of power by just calling it an emergency. Same way Jay Inslee has declared an emergency for 20 months now. No emergency clause is designed to last that long. But Mike Kreidler says, oh, it's an emergency. The number one factor in getting a discount on your auto insurance is if you have a good credit score. because a good credit score often goes hand in hand with making good decisions. Now, not always, but it's been a shortcut that the insurance companies have used for years and years and years. But we're all about equity now. And that means that if you have the crappiest credit score, your insurance rate should be the same as the person with the sterling credit score. So Mike Kreidler has chosen to punish people because of their good credit. And so I'm hearing from listeners whose insurance has gone up a quarter in cases. $300 a quarter, $1,200 a year. Lots of people, their insurance has gone up over $1,000 a year. I feel bad because I did try to warn you. I talked about this when Kreidler was first pulling off this scheme. And he's doing it because he wants to punish the most successful. That is an absolute bedrock essential foundation of a socialist society. Punish the successful and reward the others. Now, not everybody with bad credit has made bad decisions. Sometimes it's through life circumstances beyond your control. But pretty much everybody with good credit has made good decisions. You've not spent beyond your means, and you pay your bills on time. Those are virtues that should be rewarded. But they're not in our state because of people like Mike Kreidler, because we are indeed trying to crush especially the middle class, the working class, the people on fixed income. I've heard from a lot of people on fixed income. They don't have an extra $800 a year, and yet that's what their insurance rates have gone up. And so on and on it goes, how we punish people in this state. One of the people that wrote to me forwarded what Kreidler said. And the response, Mike Kreidler said, oh, they're not raising your rates. They're just taking away your discount. I mean, that's government speak these days. They're not raising your rates. They're just taking away your discount. And that means they're raising your rates. In many cases, $1,000. Because a bureaucrat named Mike Kreidler in Olympia has decided to do that to middle-class families and to all families around the region. So in one email that a listener sent to me, Kreidler said, the rates aren't being risen. They're taking away your discount. Another one that was just forwarded to us, Mike Kreidler's office responded and said, if your insurance company is raising your premium, consider shopping around.
My mama told me you better shop around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike Kreidler, are you the captain or are you Tennille here? Just telling people that they got to shop around for better insurance. You know, a lot of us do. By the way, my great sponsor, First Mark Insurance, they do the shopping for you, shop you around. But I'm not trying to make this into an ad, but I'm so sad for people who cannot make ends meet right now. And it's because of Mike Kreidler, Jay Inslee, Joe Biden, the inflation of Joe Biden, the gas prices have skyrocketed because of Jay Inslee, insurance rates through the roof because of Mike Kreidler. And I continue to be baffled why working class, middle class, and especially the poor people, the more poverty class people, why do you continue to elect people who have such contempt for you? Because their goal, of course, is poverty for as many as possible. Because with poverty comes total 100% dependence on government. And that's what Mike Kreidler wants. That's Jay Inslee wants. That's Joe Biden wants. And I've never understood. Well, I understood when I was a kid and I was in poverty. And I thought government was actually a ticket out. And then I figured out when I was about 12 years old that if I relied on government instead of myself, I wasn't going to go anywhere. And that's when I started to move far away from the stuff that I had been pushed or had pushed into my brain in my first 12 years of life. But why? Why do you keep voting for people who want you to be completely beholden to government? So Mike Kreidler, insurance commissioner, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. On behalf of all the middle class, working class, poor people who are getting bills they cannot pay. And then you wonder why there are so many uninsured drivers running around on the streets when you make the insurance so expensive for people who make good decisions. It's unbelievable. But that's not the only one. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Went to the grocery store on Sunday. It was a stormy day for a spell. And my wife said, my wife always thinks, yeah, let's have soup or some kind of comfort food on stormy days. And she said, would you like me to make some stew? Said, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. So we go to the grocery store. Stew meat. Usually not very expensive. I don't think I've ever seen it over $5 a pound. Stew meat, $7.49 a pound. Literally 50% higher than what I've ever seen. And I noted as I was going around the store how much things have gone up. And my point is the same as my last one. This is all Joe Biden. Joe Biden floods the country with trillions of dollars, and all of a sudden people have more money in their pocket. Demand goes up. Supply remains the same. So what happens? Prices go up a lot. That's called inflation. And inflation is one of the most insidious taxes because if you have 5% inflation, you lose 5% of every penny you have. And so it's the most insidious of taxes. And this is another failure of the Biden administration. So you got the Inslee administration screwing over the insurance people, the people who are buying insurance. You have the Biden administration screwing over the entire nation with inflation that's running out of control. And then I'll give you another one. Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine screwing over all of us because they just announced that they are buying three brand new buildings near downtown Seattle with 165 studio apartments. They were supposed to be rented at market rates, but instead, the Low Income Housing Institute, which is an organization that has had incredible credibility problems over the years, Lehigh, they're buying these three brand new apartment buildings for about $50 million. And the money's coming from you and me, the taxpayers. Now, a couple points on this. All three of my girls are renters right now. One of my daughters and her husband, they are looking at houses. It's really tough. It is so tough to be a young person in our region and to be able to get the American dream of your own home. A house that's all yours. But if you are a heroin addict, a meth addict, then the taxpayers will give you a brand new apartment. And where is it? It's on right near Capitol Hill, between Capitol Hill facing downtown. Seattle Times has a picture from one of the apartments. The view is spectacular. A corner unit, it looks over all the downtown high-rises and then has a view all the way to Elliott Bay, to Puget Sound. So these are water view apartments. And the only thing you have to do to get one of them is be a heroin or meth addict or have some other reason for your homelessness. Are you going to have to stay clean while you're in the apartments that we're buying you? No, come on. Why would somebody want to help save your life? We're just going to give you a place to die if you're a drug addict. And they say they're going to offer services. But, of course, like our withdrawal from Afghanistan, which was completely backwards, this is completely backwards. We should have facilities where people can get treatment. And at the end of the rainbow, let them know, look, if you work hard, if you get yourself clean, if you work to get free from the enemy, from these demons that are ruining you and your life, But if you make it, we're going to have a brand new apartment for you. If we stuck with this plan. The other question that I have to ask is, why are we buying 165 units in one of the most expensive real estate neighborhoods in the United States of America? Why in the world, if we're going to provide 165 units, wouldn't we do it out in rural King County or rural Pierce or rural any county where land is a fraction of what it is on Capitol Hill in Seattle? The most expensive real estate in the country, outside of, you know, New York City, some neighborhoods in D.C., but Seattle's among the very top. And that's where we're putting drug vagrants on our dime. Our kids can't afford to buy their own place. Our kids have to work their butts off to pay their own rent. But heroin addicts, meth addicts, you and I get to buy them a brand new studio apartment in one of the most expensive neighborhoods for real estate in the country. Does that make any sense to you? Because I am here to watch out for your tax dollars, but I'm also here to try to question what government shoves down our throat. In all of these cases, Mike Kreidler should not have done this to insurance consumers. He shouldn't punish people who make good decisions. That's getting everything backwards. We shouldn't flood the economy with trillions of dollars, which gave people a disincentive to work and then drives up the price of stew meat 50%. And when our kids can't afford their own place but have to scramble to pay their own rent, and yet we're buying brand new studio apartments in expensive neighborhoods for drug addicts. Does any of this make sense to you? Are we doing any of these things right? Because you and I both know the answer is no. We're doing every single thing wrong. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, I asked the question, Seahawk fans were 90% unmasked. And I don't want to come down on the Seahawks. I just want to know, when a little restaurant in Chehalis violates a mandate, they get hit with hundreds of thousands in fines. When a little barbershop in Snohomish violates a mandate, he gets hit with 90,000 in fines. When the Seahawks fans violate a mandate, nothing happens. Does the state just punish little guys and let the big guys go scot-free? I'm going to talk to Bob the Barber up in Snohomish about this disparity. Next on the Dory Monson Show. I mentioned something on the show yesterday. I said that the state of Washington, with Jay Inslee's mandates, they have gone after and tried to ruin a lot of small businesses, including my friend Rod, who had owned Spiffy's for 50 years down in Centralia, and this guy, Bob Martin. Bob's been cutting hair up in Snohomish for 53 years, and they came after him hard when he opened in defiance of the state's mandate. Bob Martin joins me once again on the Dory Monson Show. Bob, it's always great to talk to you, sir.
It was nice to hear your voice again. It's been a while since I talked to you.
It has been a while. So the reason I was talking about this is I was watching the Seahawks game on Sunday, and they have a mandate that if you're at a large outdoor event of more than 500 people, you have to wear a mask. I would say more than 90% of the people at the football game were unmasked, but the state's not going after the Seattle Seahawks for that, but they went after you for what, $90,000? Is that right?
Yes, sir. $90,000. Yeah.
Okay. I know they went off after Rod at Spiffy's for over $160,000. So I'm trying to figure out, how is it fair that they're going after your little barbershop in Snohomish, but the Seahawks can get away with just ignoring a mandate? How's that fair?
Well, look, you've got a lot of people there, and it's pretty hard to enforce anything. You don't have to enforce, you don't have to comply to any of this stuff. This, what we've got for a governor, he wants to be a dictator instead of a dictator, and we're not going to put up with this kind of crap. I grew up on a farm, and I'm not going to put up with any BS. I watched what happened. with all these mandates that he made, telling people they couldn't go to the hospital unless they got the vaccines, or you know, people died of COVID. Everybody that died of COVID, which is a big lie, and the whole thing's been a scam. And yeah, they went to that $90,000, so I paid that $90,000. I went down with my attorney to Olympia. We paid $90,000 with a promissory note. They have to accept a promissory note just like they would anything else, because that's what our Federal Reserve is.
Okay.
And they don't like that, but it's just a promissory note. They have to accept it, and they did, and we got it all on video.
Okay, so what does that mean? Are you going to then come through with the $90,000 cash?
No, it's a promissory note, period. That's all it is, on a piece of paper. They have to accept it as paid in full.
No, wait a second. So you gave them a promissory note, but you're never going to pay it?
No. It's been paid already. Promissory note.
Well, but the promissory note didn't cost you anything, did it?
No, it didn't. This is going to end up in the court. You know, if I had complied with this thing, all three of us here are veterans in the shop. 90% disability with one guy. He's got two kids, a boy and a girl. Tony's got two girls. He's 50% we're disabled. That's disabled by active duty injuries that are caused.
Right.
And I'm not going to let Inslee, whether he's a political parasite in Olympia, and same thing with Ferguson, disallow us to be able to work and take care of our family. I grew up old with six kids, and we were on welfare because my dad was not working. He was hurt. And I swore up and down I would never, it was so embarrassing to have to be on welfare and take commodity foods. And I just made up my mind that's never going to happen. So
well, and if I remember correctly, in case people haven't heard you on with me before, didn't you tell me that you started cutting hair in the United States Marines back in, what
yes,
was it, 1960? Bob, that's before I was born, and I'm getting to be an old man.
Well, as soon as I get old, why? Yeah, my head's 35, but my body's getting old.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Anyway.
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand this. So did they also take away your business license?
They said they took it away. I still have it hanging on the mirror. It was good until June, here, 19, this last past June. And somebody called, one of my friends here, called down to Olympia, and they said, no, your license is still in force. We had a town meeting here about all the small businesses that were worried about being closed down. I went down there and told them, just stay open. What are they going to do to you? They're going to take away your birthday? They can't do anything to you.
I want to make sure everybody understands me, too. I don't want the state to go after the Seahawks for having unmasked fans. I thought those fans looked like they were having a blast. But
no,
by the same token, I don't think they should go after a little barbershop in Snohomish or a little restaurant down in Centralia. I just want some consistency. But the fact that they will go after the little guys and try to destroy you and not go after the most popular organization in the state, that is not the way government is supposed to work.
No, it's not. But as long as you comply to their BS, then that's what's going to, they're going to shove it down your throat. And they want to be a dictator, like I'm saying. And they can't be. They'd like to be. You know, and we're protected with the Constitution, and that's my fight. I've got letters from all over the United States. When that letter came out in the Epic Times, that lady that wrote that had all kinds of letters. I've got them here at the shop.
Good for you.
Thanking me for standing up for the Constitution. It's all about the Constitution. It's not about
understood.
The barbershop. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about us.
I just want to make sure I understand this. So you gave them a promissory note for $90,000, which
sounds
like it's a promise that you're going to give them $90,000, but you're never going to pay it off.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but
the argument the argument is this.
Okay.
What is money? How much is a dollar? We're going to whip their ass in court. They ain't going to like it.
Okay.
I want to see egg on their face because that's where it deserves to be.
Is there an ethical problem there when a promissory note is essentially a promise to pay the note? Do you have any ethical problem with that?
No, I don't expect anything to happen. No.
Okay.
No.
So my
attorney's been down this road before.
Oh, man. So you gave them a worthless promissory note. You'll keep cutting hair without their approval with
That's
a license
exactly right.
if you have to.
I don't need a license to do what I'm doing. and I've got plenty of people that will back me up. You know, I haven't caused any harm. I haven't hurt anybody. I'm just defying these idiots that think that they have the authority to put people in the poorhouse.
Right.
They're not going to put me in the poorhouse. I was in the poorhouse growing up. That's why I'm mad right now that you think you're going to do that to me. Nobody's going to do that to me again, ever. And I spent a few years in the Marine Corps, and I've seen a lot of shit in the Marine Corps. They had some political person down there in Olympia. All they are is a parasite using government funds to fight little guys like myself. And all the other people that had things like this happen to them, all they had to do is stand up.
Yeah.
One of the pups here in town that suggested he go out there, and he helped them out on a little tavern out on the river, Pilchuck River,
uh-huh.
and helped them get back in business again. And there's a lady up north here in the off Highway 2 that got opened back up again. They have no authority. What are you going to do?
I understand.
My sheriff's a constitutional sheriff. He's not going to come in and hit some barbershop and arrest you for something. He hasn't. Besides, nobody else has any authority. Besides, that all the state patrolmen, Inslee thought he had. A lot of those people are just saying, "Go ahead and fire me." We're going to see a lot of class action suits before this is over.
Oh yes, we will. Absolutely.
Too far.
Bob, you still have a little bit of mule kick in you, don't you?
Well, I might be 80 years old, but I still can kick butt one or two more times before I cash in.
you ain't cashing in for a long time because you and I have a lot more conversations that we got to have in the future, okay?
Well, this is all about America, and it's about our Constitution. We have a Constitution for a damn good reason. People have to realize that. I think they're kind of slow to come to the terms of the whole thing, but we need to understand that this is the only thing that separates us from the rest of the world.
There you go.
And money, I think all this Ponzi scheme with the COVID thing had to do with all the cities, county, state, and federal government retirement funds that went away by the wayside in a Ponzi scheme, and it went away in the stock market. So
I wish I had time to get into that, but I don't today. But we'll talk again soon, sir. I love listening to the fight that you have in you.
Well, I don't have anything else to do. I'm not married, so I'll fight with it, Governor.
All right, Bob. Well,
I'm just joking, but I mean, this is serious business, you know.
No,
you
I know it is. I totally agree with you. All right, Bob. Well, it's always great talking with you. Thanks for coming on with me.
All right, thank you, Maury. Talk to you later. Bye bye.
Okay, it's Dory. Bob Martin, Snohomish Barber. All right, so your thoughts, you can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we'll have lots more to come here on the Maury Monson Show. Getting a bunch of texts commenting on my opening segment today, questioning why the city of Seattle is buying 3 high-rise towers, brand new, to put in low-income people. They say they're transitioning from tiny houses. And some people said, well, what's your solution, Dory? And I've told you my solution many, many, many times, that we offer services. We should have inexpensive place for people to stay until they can start to get back on their own 2 feet. But while they're staying there, we should give them alcohol and drug treatment and job training and mental health treatment. But these are brand new buildings, and they cost $300,000 a unit for what's called an apartment, much tinier than a motel room even. But they're high rises with beautiful views of downtown in some of the most expensive real estate in the country. And I'll tell you something else. These were purchased by the Low Income Housing Institute. The director of the executive director of the Low Income Housing Institute, according to ProPublica.org, her name is Sharon Lee. She makes administering low income housing programs. She makes $264,000 a year. Now, if somebody's making more than $250,000 a year on homelessness, do you think they really have an incentive to solve homelessness? If you solve homelessness, you're out of a job. But we've put more than $10 billion in the last decade into the homelessness industrial complex. It's much more designed to make developers wealthy. I don't know. I mean, the apartment lifestyle has drifted away since COVID because a lot more people are working from home, especially people who would have bought, because these were built, understand, these were built to be open free market condos that people would buy. But so many people, especially young people, have jobs that now allow them to work from home. And these apartments don't have any office space. I mean, they barely have enough room for you to turn around. And so those have become much less desirable. Well, guess what? The developer, the real estate and speculators, not in speculators, speculators, they saw the possibility that these apartments weren't going to sell out because lifestyles have changed. So then all of a sudden, they get a tremendous bailout from the taxpayers. The government, you and me, we bail out the developers because these were not as marketable as they would have been before COVID, when everybody was working in an office. Then you have people who, you know, have been homeless, have been drug addicts. They get these for, you know, they have to pay a little rent. But the subsidy is the cost of these units, $300,000 each. And the point on that is, I've paid a lot of taxes over my lifetime, and I now have three daughters who would desperately love to get into the housing market. And the most basic starter level house around here now is like $650,000. Well, you got to come up with between, you know, 20% down and closing costs and all that. You got to come up with $150,000. And that's not easy for kids in their 20s or early 30s. And yet, if people have made decisions that sadly landed them into the streets or into the tiny house villages or whatever, now all of a sudden we give them a $300,000 subsidy for their housing with a beautiful view of downtown and Elliott Bay. But we don't do that for the kids who haven't been on drugs and have been working hard and been trying to save money and desperately want to get into the housing market themselves. And then, as I said, we have an organization, Lehigh, and all the others who are part of the industrial housing complex. We've spent a fortune. I mean, just spending $300,000 just on the units for each person is a fortune. But when Sharon Lee makes $264,000, Lynn Behar is the chief financial officer of Lehigh. She makes $170,000. Robin Amadon, director of housing developing, $124,000. I mean, you get my point. This is all as of 2019, according to ProPublica.org. There are a lot of bureaucrats who make a fortune off of homelessness. There are a lot of developers and builders who either make a fortune or are saved from losing money because of taxpayers, because of bureaucrats, because of deals. And the hardest working 20-something, 30-somethings who would love to get housing, they continue to get squeezed despite making all great decisions. I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's right. Check the news for you, and then the Fast 15 coming up next. Here's the show.